Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
If you're going to plant something on a scene, give me some experience here from your work in the FBI. Have you ever dealt with something where a scene has been this sort of situation where somebody's planting the evidence to frame up somebody else? And how common is that sort of thing happening, if ever?
Well, where you see it on occasion, I found, is particularly in domestic situations, mm-hmm. where a spouse will be trying to frame the other spouse or frame another person in another spouse's death or an intrusion of their house, and they leave something else behind of the other spouse to try to frame them.
Sure.
That's where I've seen it more. So it's really has nothing to do with a DNA or a planted fingerprint or, you know, a blood spatter. Instead, it's usually more something like an article of clothing, mm-hmm. or a personal belonging of somebody. Because as you pointed out in the front, you can't see DNA. How could you be sure that what you planted would work?
That's the big problem I have with all this. It's like you're planting touch DNA. Like, I get like blood or something, but even then, you got to get the blood. That blood has to come from somewhere. So somebody, you got to get Koberger's blood, but that's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about touch DNA. How would you even do that? You'd have to have something that he's really handled pretty well and then take that and then put it specifically on the button of the knife sheath. I would think you'd just be, if you're hoping to get something, you'd be kind of like slathering whatever piece that you have his touch on all over it, so you hopefully get it there, not just right on the button of the sheath. Can you do that? I mean, is that, again, and how?
I don't think it's at all plausible. It would be much more plausible if somehow you could get somebody's blood in some way. But the reason it's not plausible is because these are dead skin cells, mm-hmm. right? This is actually somebody that would have sloughed their skin cells. So that's very difficult to plant, just like fingerprints are difficult to plant. The only way I think you could ever plant DNA would be if you followed somebody around, and just like what happened in the Rex Heuerman case, who's the Long Island serial killer, allegedly, and he was eating pizza. Mm-hmm. And so they retrieved DNA from the pizza and pizza box that he discarded. So that is much more plausible. In other words, DNA is in your saliva.
Yeah, but this wasn't saliva DNA. This was
exactly.
Yeah.
No. Right. I was just trying to make the point that that's the only kind of DNA I think you could legitimately possibly plant. You can't plant touch DNA.
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, that was the only other thing I could think of. Is like, okay, did they follow him at the cafeteria or that's like get a straw? But again, that's not the same thing that they found. So that doesn't even make sense.
There's no way to make it make sense. I mean, now we're going to have it also would have had to have been stolen.
Yeah.
you know, the sheath would have had to have been stolen. And, you know, there's no reports of that or anything like that. It's just so far-fetched. But I just think they're desperate and have no place else to go.
Is this just a move, you know, try and introduce some reasonable doubt out into a potential jury pool? Somebody's going to half-assed hear this story and go, oh, I heard that there was that this could have been this without even looking at it. And then maybe they'll walk into the jury box at that point going, having a weird, you know, notion on the case that that's not factual.
Well, you know, these lawyers and everybody really trying these big, high-profile cases have definitely heard of the Karen Reed case. And that is a perfect example of a case where they literally threw mud up against the wall, and I'll be doggone if it stuck, mm-hmm. you know, pointing fingers at people with absolutely no evidence to back it up. And people have bought off on it. So I think they feel like, listen, we're going to try that in this case. We'll start pointing the fingers in other directions and see what sticks.
Yeah. It's baffling. And my God, that's got to be insulting to those families when they're sitting there and they're seeing this one being thrown out now. I mean, the whole thing has got to be grueling as hell. I can't imagine being a parent and going through this. But when you just start hearing these asinine ideas being thrown out there as literally defense, and he sits there in that stoic way that he does in the courtroom with little to no emotion. Oh yeah. I cannot imagine being in any of those shoes or Steve's shoes at all. I know he's been very vocal about all of this. Let's talk about that just for a second. Koberger's demeanor in court, it's always been pretty much the same, motionless. He's there. What is that telling you about any of this? I mean, he's not really leaning either direction, I think, for a jury to really read anything off of that. Is that a good thing in this case, or should he be showing a little more empathy or anything?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because it reminds me so much of what we're taught as FBI agents when you're sitting there. And I'm going to take a scene sort of out of A Few Good Men,
yeah,
where you know, he tells Demi Moore and the other actor, he says, listen, you know, look like you expect everything that's happening. Don't make any facial expressions. Don't act surprised. Don't act sad. Be, you know, and honestly, that's what you want to look like. You don't want to show a lot of emotion one way or the other. And he knows this. He mm-hmm. is a PhD student in criminal justice. So he's gone to classes and he knows what the preferred manner is at a table. I'm going to digress a little bit here. I'm going to go to Karen Reed.
Yeah.
Look at her, how uncontrollable she's been in the courtroom and how negatively I think it's really impacted her. And that's the last thing Ann Taylor is going to accept from Brian Koberger. She doesn't have to worry about him, though. He knows better.
Yeah. I really wonder how much. I would love to be a fly on the wall hearing these conversations. How do you think this one came about? Is this an Ann Taylor idea, or is this a Brian Koberger, hey, go do this one, they'll buy this?
I think it's a combination. I think that, you know, he's never been through a murder trial. She has, mm-hmm. And a death penalty murder trial. She's death penalty approved. So this is not her first rodeo. She's very experienced, and she's letting that experience play out here. And, you know, the difference is, I think, in this one, like no other trial anybody's ever seen, certainly her, is the notoriety.
Yeah.
And everything happening in it. And she knows every step she takes is going to be scrutinized. Mm-hmm. But when you have nothing, there's nothing else you can do. There truly is nothing else you can do when you have no evidence that supports your position. I mean, we have stargazing, moon gazing, and somebody planted a sheath with his secret, you know, with his DNA that they secretly acquired. It's so preposterous. All three of those concepts.
They are. They don't have anything. They have, like, there's literally nothing that's, I'm kind of getting disappointed because Ann Taylor has been pretty good, but now we're down to the bottom of the barrel. We're just like,
she's pretty good at stalling.
Yeah.
And she's good at these hearings. But when you really break it all down, it has nothing to do with the evidence. She just was trying to avoid the evidence coming in.
You can't make it up. So, all right. Well, I wish them luck on finding the real killer. But I think they're going to find out that it's actually the guy that's sitting next to Ann Taylor in court.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.